Welcome to Imagining the Past, the Summer Autumn Season 2025.
HNSA acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land on which we work and live, and recognises their continuing connection to the land, water and community. We pay respects to Elders past, present and emerging.
In this podcast series, we'll be hearing from some of the sessions from the HNSA conference held in Sydney on the 21st and 22nd of October 2023. In this session, It's a Question of Character, yours truly chats with Nicole Alexander, Victoria Perman and Kelly Rimmer about creating memorable characters, both angels and demons. And a reminder, these are live recordings, so there are a few lamentable glitches.
Thank you. think it's a little different with every book. Sometimes I kind of start with the historical concept or the setting, and then it's a question of who is best to tell the story and who has been forgotten in this scenario. So in my novel, The German Wife, it's, you know, set around the German rocket program for the most part, and then Operation Paperclip in the US. And I wanted to tell that story through the lens of one of the women that was on the periphery of all that. And so the character kind of emerged from this interesting history that I'd stumbled upon. And then the plot kind of follows from there. But I think with every book, it's different. Sometimes I've had, and I think lots of novelists have this experience where you have a particular idea for a character that just kind of follows you around for a while. And then it's a case of which story is this person going to pop into? I definitely am not interesting enough to be basing my characters on, but I think it's a little bit like when I was a kid, I used to love playing make-believe. And then as I started growing out of that, I grew into creative writing. And so I think when I'm making characters, sometimes it's almost aspirational. You know, my last book had these strong, courageous women that drive the whole book, and there's nothing in that. Oh yeah, that's probably the bravest thing I've ever done. Not quite the same as jetting into occupied France, though, is it, Greg? I am a plotter. I plot really extensively. And before I don't know why this works. In my first few novels, I didn't plot. And then I had horrific edits on a novel. And after, since then, I've always been a bit terrified at the start until I kind of know what I'm writing towards. And a huge part of my process has taken me, I don't know, it's only been the last few books I've made peace with things, but is daydreaming. I have to daydream so much. I have to walk around in the character's head for a really long time before I'm putting them down on paper, even though I kind of know what the points of action are going to be in the plot. To know the character, I have to be in their head for a long time off the page as I'm folding the, well, I don't really do the folding, but as I'm washing up, I do wash up. But one, I really got stuck on the Paris agent. My antagonist was really escaping me and I couldn't figure out why they were going to do certain things I needed them to do. And as a writer who dictates, there was one day where I just blocked out the whole day and I dictated his whole life story and none of it made it into the book, but it just made me understand him in a way that I could then write him and the actions that I needed him to take. But that's pretty rare for me. Most of the time it's all very soft and fluffy and it is just daydreaming as I walk the dogs or as I go to sleep. I will often play scenes through in my mind as I'm going to sleep. I think this is something that the industry is a little afraid of these days. A lot of publishers are really nervous when you give them a truly unlikable character as center stage. But if every character obviously has to be flawed, and even your antagonist has to have some goodness to them, or they're going to read as a, you know, two-dimensional monster. And so it's really important to play around with it as a writer and actually getting the balance right of having the character likable enough that your reader will stay in their head, but unlikable enough that they believe them is something that you just have to play with till it feels right. I already answered this one. I don't think. No, I haven't. But my answer. There are, and I've actually simplified it. I know that's it's complex because every character, well, my main characters have several names each, but I simplified it further than the reality would have been, because lots of these women would have operated under multiple names in the field. And it was really, but trying to get that, you know, stretched out across the story in a way that a reader can follow was a little bit, I just wasn't sure how I could do it. So I've simplified it down. They've only got two names each, which is confusing enough. But I also do exactly the same thing. I kind of, when I'm setting up my timeline, when I'm plotting, I use software for the timeline. One of the first things I do is calculate date of birth and then go off and look at what names were popular in that year, because it's just a really simple, quick, easy way to bring a bit of authenticity into the story. And absolutely, I think Victoria said readers will notice it straight away. 100%, they absolutely will. And so it is, that's a really simple thing that if you're an aspiring writer, you can do, is make sure that you're using names which are authentic to the period. It's not that people wouldn't have had other names, it's just that it's an instant signal of the setting sometimes with the names that you choose. Yeah, and when as historical novelists, you're sometimes writing a story that spans decades. And so I am an overwriter. I am not an economical person with words in speech or in writing. And so I use tell sometimes when I need to move this story along quickly because and sometimes I'll go through in my inevitably bloated draft and where I'm trying to figure out how to jump this story forward to the next critical point, so the reader's kept engaged. And so I'm giving them all the information they need, but also not boring them to death because I've found some really interesting research that I just want to cram in there. And I'll use tell to kind of shortcut bits to bring the reader across, a period of time or across a trajectory that I need to move them through quickly. And yes, actually having had that my last novel is set around the special operations executive and it's, there's intrigue and there's spies and they're in the field and it's a little darker in some sections than some of my other novels. And so showing people's motivations and showing their character through their actions in the field is actually a little easier because the stakes are so high. Yes. part of my process is I'll often write things that are a little jarring in the first draft, not necessarily intentionally, just that, and I don't even realize I've done it. And then as I'm refining, as the drafts progress, things become more subtle. So the idea might linger, but it just becomes a more organic or natural way of expressing the same idea. And I think it's instinct that has developed in me, at least through, rather than any formal training, but from reading lots. You know, you read lots of books, and as you read different stories, sometimes you read something and it's so obvious and jarring and out there that it pulls you out of the story for a minute. And so as I'm refining my drafts, I'm just trying to bring some subtlety in there. But again, not a particularly efficient writer. And so I have to do this the hard way every time. It's always the 10th draft when I get it right. I just recently read Tom Lake by Ann Patchett, and the protagonist in that book, Lara, that book is such a beautiful example of how to write authentic, organic, believable three-dimensional characters. I mean, it's really fresh on my mind because I read it twice back to back only a couple of weeks ago, but I really think for anyone who wants to write better characters, that book is where I would direct them because it's just so beautifully done. Oh, but Victoria, I was obsessed with Trixie Belden as a child. So when you said Nancy Drew, I was like, we should talk. I had a minor character in my book, The Things We Cannot Say, who's named Amelia. She was a little sister of one of the major characters. And she just, when I finished that book, you know, you finish it, you kind of try and put it aside. And then, but she just kept coming back to me and ended up being kind of the star of her own story in The Warsaw Orphan. And I have such a soft spot for her because it was kind of, I haven't had that experience before where a character just refuses to let go of me. But I have, for the people online, it was Tom that I've just seen that there's some questions about the character we were talking about a minute ago, and it was Ann Patchett's Tom Lake, and the character is Lara. I just wanted to add to that. I think as with any tool, it's something that you need to use with, And I mean, if the whole book is all thought, their thoughts, then you are taking something away from the action of the story. And so I think it's a case of balance, and really well-established writers will automatically find the balance. But if you're just starting out, it's something that you need to be careful not to overuse.
Flawed characters, and every character has to have a flaw because it makes it more interesting, etc., etc. So for me, it was just one way of sort of
thank you for listening to this podcast, held from the 2023 HNSA conference held in Sydney. Just a reminder that 2025 is conference year and details will soon be announced. Visit our website hnsa.org.au, join our Facebook group and subscribe to our newsletter to be up to date. And please explore our podcast archive, treasure trove of historical ideas. I'm Greg Johnston. It's so good to have your company imagining the past.